Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, all you readeraholics? This week on Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, LA Talk Radio Channel 1, iHeartRadio, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Sonos. What else the hell are we on? I don't know. Oh, we are now. We're now syndicated on Amazon Alexa devices.
Amazon.
And Google Play.
Google Play.
Google Play Music, Google Play Store. Yes, this is awesome. I am excited. We're on almost everything. And we're about to be on TuneIn. Cross your fingers. So lots of shit going
fingers
down.
Fingers crossed.
Lots of things going down. Today on Jay's Real Talk on the Block, we will have author and humorist J.J. Gold coming in the house.
Like him already.
We already have... Oh, I'll introduce you to second husband, my husband James Muse, co-host. Hold on. You are on the air with Jay's Real Talk on the Block. I see you couldn't wait to call in. Who am I speaking with?
Hi. I'm trying to speak with Sonia Harding. Is she still on there?
No, sorry. But, you know, if you want to talk to us later, you can. No, just kidding.
What time? Was she there already?
Yeah, she's already been on the air, yes. But it was a wonderful show.
I see.
She's a great lady.
Oh, she's a wonderful person.
I just wanted
to say hi to her. She's not there no more?
No, she just got done her show. But I will forward the message on for her.
Okay, would you tell her Beverly Allen called and that I love her songs and her new album?
I will tell her that, yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Go tell Sonia Allen out there that, what was her name? Yeah. So go tell her. Beverly Allen. Yeah, was her name? Yeah, go tell her that she likes her. Anywho, so. I'm sorry. I'm not. I feel bad. I'm trying to pass on messages. I'm sorry, but she was very popular, and I can't wait to have her on our show here soon. Maybe we can lock her down for November 29th.
Yeah, that'd be
so
nice.
So call in Elizabeth Allen. Call in on...
that was Beverly.
Beverly. Beverly Allen. Yes, there we go. Whatever. Yes. Yeah, your name. Yes. Beverly, I can't remember. Anyway, I can't remember what I was doing. Shouldn't get high before the show. Anywho, so...
You get high before every show.
I do. Right, so anyway, this is...
They turn out fine anyway.
They do. This is the co-host. That's true. This is the co-host, James Muse.
What's up, baby?
co-host and co-owner of Get Real Global Entertainment.
Yes.
What goes to produce this wonderful show called Jenny's Real Talk on the Block.
Yes.
On all those wonderful things. So
iTunes, iPad, everything, and Amazonian.
Yes.
Jungle.com and all that.
Jungle.com, Jesus.
And SoundCloud, Thunderstorm.
You're probably on jungle.com. I'm sorry, did that sound like a racist joke?
I don't know. I've never been in the jungle. Except off of La Brea.
The jungles don't count.
It has a lot of trees.
Crazy. Was that Baldwin Hills over there?
Yeah.
The jungles near Baldwin Hills. It sounds,
I used to
it sounds
there.
Like a dangerous spot to live.
It is.
Jesus Christ.
To
okay.
Certain
anyway.
Extent.
I'm sorry.
Holy shit.
Did you pass on the message for Beverly Allen? We figured that one out. Beverly, yes.
Yes.
To
yes.
Sonia.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, cool. And was she happy?
She was happy.
Oh, shit. I got to turn your mic on. I had number three on, but not number four. I'm sorry, my bad.
Silent Giggle speaking.
Okay, silent Giggle's in the house, a.k.a. Tashina Saunders. What's up? Now she can actually have a seat this week.
Yes, I really do.
Pretty much every week is taken up by a bunch of guests. Yeah. We are very popular. We can't help it.
Very.
Last week on the show was Society One.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be going to see them in December. Was it December 23rd at the Viper Room?
Oh, yeah.
Be playing. So we'll go check them out for their last show of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Before they go on to more projects. And they got the, they got something else coming up in November, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had something in November.
November, yeah, something big. I think he was going to a movie premiere last week.
Yeah, he was talking about that.
Yeah, Matt Zane. Lord Matt. Lord Zane.
Lord Zane.
Lord Zane. I like that. I thought that was cool. But thank you to Maxwell Carlisle, D.V. Karloff, Jordan Mitev, and Matt Zane. Lord Zane, for being on the show last week. We appreciate you. And we look forward to seeing you guys in December. So lots of great stuff going on. And let's
see.
So
excited.
I know. So November 17th, we're going to see Slant play with Puddle of Mud at the Whiskey. So that's going to be a good show. I see the Puddle of Mud's been at the Whiskey quite a bit lately.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So we get a lot of great concerts and events, things coming up. Let's see. What do we got next week? I'm trying to think. October 25th. Oh, next week is Slant. Speaking of Slant. What up, Slant? The band Slant. They're an awesome rock band. You guys are going to love them. Really, really good sound. So they will be on next week, October 25th. I'm glad I finally got them locked down. I got some more bands I need to lock down. But basically, we've got Hurt in the Heartbeat coming on November 1st.
Oh, all right.
November 8th, we've got Maya J. Gold. Okay. Oh, that's funny. We got J.J. Gold on the show today.
Yeah.
Author and humorist J.J. Gold will be on the show today, and her name is Maya J. Gold. That's awesome. No, probably no relation, but, well, he's a white dude, and she's, well, never know. I mean,
Anton Johnson, Special Agent
Johnson. Looks,
no relation.
She looks maybe biracial.
Okay, well.
I think she, you know, yeah.
Same dad.
Same they could. Mom. No, I'm just saying. No, she could. He could plausibly be her father if he's, you know.
Oh,
if
so
he, if he slept difference. If he slept with a black woman, you know, could be his kid.
Oh, so that,
I'm just saying the coincidence. Yeah. The coincidence. Yeah, yeah.
Might
no,
be.
She's a very young woman. She's like in her 20s.
Okay.
But she's coming out with an album, and she's going to be on the show talking about her projects and her songs. So we got that, and then we got a lot of stuff coming up. A lot of really great artists and people coming up soon, so be prepared to have fun with Jenny and JJ and Silent Giggles as long as she's in town and not with her girlfriend Belinda. What's up, Belinda?
What's up, Belinda?
What's up, Belinda? In Palmdale.
Boom, boom, Belinda.
California. Well. It is for Tashina.
Boom, 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 boom.
The lesbian, yes.
The blesbian. I'm trademarking that word.
Better.
Just like I'm trademarking, what was the other one? Woma. A weed coma.
A woma?
I got everybody calling it a woma now.
Oh, we had a few of those.
Yeah, we've several just this week alone. Right. I'd like to go in one to one later after the show. But here in a couple minutes, we've got JJ Gold calling in about his new book that he's got coming out. It's out, but he wants to talk about it. It is called Just in Time. His first name is Justin, so that's where the J comes from. J dot J A Y E and then Gold, but yes, he is been a best-selling author. He's a humorist, and he's going to talk about some of his experiences in his field. But it's the book is called it's technically Just in Time, autobiographical stories from an American spiritual master.
An American
spiritual master. Yes. Oh. 20 years after the release of his best-selling memoir, Another Heart in His Hand, A Spiritual Anomaly, the enigmatic J.J. Gold, J is for Justin, has resurfaced with three books in 2016. Okay. So he went away for a little while, but he came back with very strong with three books, which is good. Mm-hmm. His latest, Just in Time... Gold incorporates uniquely entertaining autobiographical stories and revolutionary points of view to deliver a cliche-free recounting of his progression from ordinary Bronx kid to philosopher and spiritual teacher.
Oh, good.
So I think that's it's a pretty interesting book, yep. And he's been working on this his whole life. He's been in this field for like 35 years or so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very interesting. And I think we could learn a lot from this kind of a person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He is currently living in the Sierra foothills of Northern California, which is where he's going to be calling us from, where he works with several dozen seekers of truth. Sounds like a hippie commune. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Sorry, JJ. Sorry. I'm sorry. When I read that earlier, I had that that just popped into my head. But anyway, I can't wait for him to call in. So we can
hippies seem like nice people.
Get some, no, well, he's a guru. It says, over the years, he has deliberately resisted the trend to become a traveling guru with thousands of followers around the world in favor of preserving an element that he considers precious. That of maintaining opportunities for developing an actual teacher-student relationship. He is available to anyone who seeks his guidance. Ooh, I hope this is him. You are on the air with Jenny. Who is this, JJ Gold?
That's who you got. You got JJ Gold, Jennifer.
Yes, we were just talking about your book and the title. I thought it was very interesting. Yes.
Well, it was my nickname for a long time as a kid.
That's funny because my husband's nickname is JJ.
How you doing? How you doing, JJ?
This is the.
I'm doing great. Good to hear you guys.
This is him. yeah, we were talking about the. I liked how your book was called "Just in Time." It was like, you know, double meaning, double.
Right.
I like the play on words. I thought it was cool.
Well, when I was a kid, it wasn't a play on words. It was like a make fun of. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's.
It was like a. So just in time, because I was an early Justin. There wasn't so many Justins around then.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Yep.
Well, you want to talk about the book. I thought this was interesting, what you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
And do you want to clarify on it more? I mean, like, what this book means to you? I mean, the title alone is very interesting, so.
Well, it's a bunch of stories, basically, from my life, all true stories, places I've been to, things I've done, and things I learned from stuff I've done. So, I've traveled all over the world. I've been to a lot of places. I've done a lot of things and a lot of professions and a lot of skills and a lot of interactions with people. And so I put together a lot of stories, and I figured it was time to write them all down.
Mm.
Wow.
What would you say in your travels would be the most interesting thing you've ever experienced? I mean, the sense of just like wonderment or awe.
Yeah, right. Well, I got most of my stories are you might say understated, big lessons from ordinary things happening. But I could tell you about one that's humorous, because funny things are easy to learn from than painful things. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So I could tell you one that I wrote about. I don't know if you know what a drive-away car is, but it used to be that you could drive somebody's car from a place to place, and they would pay for the gas, and you would get to use the car. So I was going, I think, from Los Angeles up to Seattle, and so I went to one of these agencies, and they gave me a car to drive, and you go to the person's house and pick up the car. And when I went to the person's house, I picked up the car, and they were telling me, look out for this and be careful of this and stuff like that. And then I got in the car, and I'm allergic to cats. So I looked in the back seat, and there was a shitload of cat hair in the back seat.
Oh, no.
So I had to drive this car. I had to drive this car for 1,500 miles with the cat ear in the back. Uh-huh. So I did, it was winter too, so it was okay down around. I kept the windows open. It was okay down around San Diego and LA and San Francisco, but once I got up into Oregon, it started to get cold, and I had to keep the windows open and rolled down, and so I was freezing my ass off, you know, with my head out the window and my hands were freezing and like that. And eventually I got to Seattle, and I returned the guy's car, and so I went to his house and knocked on the door. He opened the door, and seemed like a nice guy. There was a couple of dogs there, and the minute I saw the dogs, I realized how stupid I had been, because it wasn't cat hair in the back, it was dog hair. And I'm not allergic.
I'm not letting the dog.
So I went 1,500 miles and froze my ass off because I made an assumption of something bad that happened, and I did everything to protect myself from the bad thing that happened, but the bad thing hasn't happened. So that's kind of a life lesson, you know. We get we meet somebody and we think they're a problem, and we start doing all kinds of shit so that to protect ourselves from the problem, and it turns out they're no problem at all, you know.
That's crazy. Wow.
Major.
What would you say was one of the most interesting places you've ever traveled to?
Well, I've been to South America a lot of times, and I've been in the Andes Mountains, and I've climbed around there, and it's a pretty interesting place because the people in the villages have a very different view of things, you know. They've lived there for generations, and they have simple lives, and they're weavers, and I ran into one lady who was, she was a weaver, and I wanted to buy one of her weavings, you know, cloaks. They're called mantas in Spanish, and so I asked her, can I buy one of these things? And she had a pile of them there, and she said, no, you can't buy those, because we have a pile over there. People they use them for birth and they use them for death.
Oh.
And so she said, she explained to me that her philosophy was that it was a long time before you're born and it's a long time after you die, but while you're alive, it is not such a long time, so it's not that big a deal. So the mantas that were the biggest deal was the ones they were born in and ones they were dying, but the ones in between weren't such a big deal. And
oh, wow.
I thought that was cool, and those, you know, because we're so self-important about what we do, so
that's
we don't
true.
Really get the idea that life is short and you got to be a good person and do good stuff. So lessons like that are really easy to learn in third world countries because people are simpler, you know, they're willing to talk to you. They don't got so much of an agenda that they're selling something or they wanted something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not America. Sorry. Now, you said you've traveled all over the world. How many languages can you speak? You must be able to, must know quite a bit.
Well, I can understand a few, but I've never been good at that. You know, I took French for junior high school, senior high school,
right.
A couple of years in college. And I always hid in the back of the room behind somebody's head because I was never very good. I was trying not to get the teacher to ask me stuff. But from all that exposure, I understand languages. But speaking them, I'm pretty weak.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
But I do good in English.
Okay. I bet you wish you hadn't, you know, sat behind the teacher, you know, the kid in the back of the class with your head hiding now, though. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, can you relate to that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I can.
Most people.
But I was the egghead. I was the egghead that everybody copied off of, so, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
I was just trying to stay away from the other children. No, I was kidding. You don't need to copy off my paper, bitch. No, that's my paper, not yours. No, I was the nerd. It is what it is.
You turned out fine, baby.
Yeah, I tried. Anyway, I did the best with what I had to work with. So anyway,
a lot to work with.
You have any questions, baby? I mean, I'm just thinking.
Well, you know, people copied off you, but it's nice to know stuff other people don't know because then you can help them out, you know, when you want to. And you know, that's the way my life goes now. You know, I know some things just because of living and learning and paying attention, and people like to learn the things that I know, and that feels good. It feels good to pass on things. You know the expression,
yes.
Don't bogart that joint?
Yes. No, yeah, I believe totally in the puff, puff, pass mantra. Mantra, you know, so we do, because we do that every day.
Yeah.
But I was doing that before the show. Now I saw I was looking at your press kit, which by the way is very very impressive. I really I like how you have it set up. Tell Matt he did a great job if he was responsible for any of that. At Paradigm Press, is that how I say it? Paradigm.
Yeah.
Paradigm.
Yeah.
Okay. They're really good over there. I thought they do a great job over there. I was looking into them. But I was looking at your the book. about how you live in the North. Was it North Hills? Was it the Sierra? Sierra foothills of Northern California, where he works with several dozen seekers of truth. I thought that was interesting. Can you clarify on that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know how it goes. You start off and you want to experience all kind of things, and I sure did. I traveled, and I was married, and I had a couple of kids, and businesses, and made some money, and you know all the things that you can do, and I did, and then it started to feel repetitious, if you know what I mean.
Right.
The next time I did whatever I did, it would just be a variation on the theme of what I did before. So I started looking around for what else a person can experience other than the repetition of getting more and doing more and more excitement and like that, and which is very cool, and the first part of life should certainly be involved in that, you know, being bold and taking chances and like that. Mm-hmm. But eventually I wanted to find something else, so I met somebody, and that somebody started pointing in the direction of more of an inner experience and meditation and things like that.
Okay.
So I got involved in that, and I learned about that, and I studied that, and that's what I've been doing for a long time, and now I just pass it on.
Oh, I like that.
Like self-awareness or self-calming, or that's what it, like meditation? Like personal thoughts about like going on through the day, or like some type of relaxing.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're tense and you're worried, you ain't gonna get much done. And there's no reason to be half the time, because you're just worried about something that's gonna work itself out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
bad
shit happens. Sure, you know, hurricanes happen and fires happen, But a lot of the stuff that we worry about, it really is not happening at all. It's just in our imagination, and it's good to be able to leave that behind. So
that's true.
It can be done.
I like that. I just like the philosophies that I was looking at, what you were talking about. Yeah, how you decided, you deliberately resisted the trend to become a traveling guru. I like that.
Right. Well, you know, if you know too many people, you don't get too much depth with anybody, you know. And I like the depth more than I like the quantity, you know. I like the quality more than I like the quantity. So
I agree.
That's what I do. I know a few people, and I like it that way.
I like this on the back of your book jacket. This is hilarious. Says the best birthday gift I ever received was the one I got the day I was born, a human body. I'm still unwrapping it. Trying to figure out how all this sophisticated high-tech equipment is supposed to be used. I love that. That was hilarious.
I love right.
That's really funny.
That's the case, you know, Jennifer, because, I mean, the things that we do don't take very much, you know. People don't challenge themselves very much, you know. It's mostly what's the easiest way to do it and what's the easiest way to get it and stuff like that, and we don't challenge ourselves very much. The things that are hard for us, we pretty much stay away from, and that's selling ourselves short, because human beings really can do a lot, you know, can really get to a lot of depth. And you know, like this last thing that happened with these with the fires and the hurricanes, you know, people came out and helped each other and friendly, and you know what I'm saying? It's like really, really humanitarian people all over the place.
Right.
But usually that doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen, and people have that capacity, but it takes a hurricane to bring it out, and that's too bad, you know, because it's there.
That is too bad. I mean, there's such great levels of, how you want to say it, giving. I mean, I've never seen so many people going out there and trying to help and rebuild and raise money and all those things. I thought that was very great. But, I mean, yes, you're right. It doesn't happen all the time, and it should. More people should be helping.
Shouldn't have to wait
until... No, we should help each... We should be helping each other, lifting each other up, not tearing each other down. We
shouldn't have to wait until a tragedy
for
happens.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if a person's busy making sure that they're okay and worrying about stuff and feeling in danger all the time of some little thing or reputation or somebody not liking them, if people worry about that a lot, then they don't really have time for helping anybody else. But if you can leave some of that stuff behind, then there's really a chance that the natural thing is, if you leave some of that stuff behind, you got extra. And if it's extra time or extra money or extra good wishes, you know, it comes out. People are good, even though a lot of times there is a lot of asshole behavior. Beneath it, there's goodness. Just people are scared and worried and taking care of themselves a little bit too much.
Yeah, I agree with that. More people need to be giving and helping of each other than it doesn't take much. No, it doesn't. It takes 2 seconds out of your day to help a little old lady up when she fell.
Yeah.
It's not that much. It's not going to kill you.
You know, if someone is hungry, they like, if you had a burger stand or something, someone's like, well, I'm hungry, just buy them something. You know, something as simple as that.
Simple things.
Yeah.
So you come from where? From New England, no?
I do, yes. I'm from Maine.
From Maine,
Yeah.
You know where a town in Canada called Woodstock is?
I love my Woodstock. I always go over there for fries and gravy.
What?
Fries and gravy. Uh-huh. Yes. Woodstock.
I was there
it's
when
right
I was
over
a
the board.
Kid. I went on a canoe down the St. John's River.
Yes, that's nice.
And we ended up in Woodstock, and my car broke down there, and so I ended up staying there for a week. I remember that place.
If you went to Woodstock, then you had to have passed through Houlton, Houlton, Houlton. It's the last 2 stops on I-95 before you go through the Canadian border. So you would have had to pass by my town, at least, from where I'm from, to get to Woodstock. That's awesome.
I might have, but I think we were drunk at the time, so I don't remember.
Oh, you... That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's a 3-story bar over there in Woodstock, so you know it might have been there.
That I remember.
That burnt down. But since then, there was a 3-story bar there.
Damn.
I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but we used to go there all the time. Yeah, I remember. Woodstock's awesome. It's not that big, but it's
a fun little place.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I like that. New England. I have lots of stories from the New England.
Well, I grew up in New York City, and that's where I graduated from. New York City, streets of New York City was my education, and I lived there for 25 years. And then I moved to the West Coast from there.
Now, have you always lived up there where you are in the Sierra foothills, or have you ever lived like down here in LA or anything like that?
I lived in LA for a while till I escaped. But I was in New York, and that was my city time, and I really loved being in the city, and I really loved the action, and I lived in Manhattan and Greenwich Village, and I grew up in the Bronx, and I write a lot of stories about that in my book, about stuff I did in New York and things I learned and a little boxing, a little gambling, and different stuff like that.
Hell yeah, we like both.
Exactly.
And then I moved out to California, and pretty much have been in California ever since. It's a little time off up in Oregon, but mostly in California.
Once you come out here, you don't want to go back. I'll go back to visit my family, but I'll never live in Maine again.
I want to go to Woodstock.
I mean, it's nice. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take you over to Woodstock. Well, you got to go see my family anyway. I'll take you over to... Well, you have to have a passport for Canada now, so you're screwed.
Oh, jeez.
You're not going to Canada, honey. Well, we can walk through the woods and get over across, and nobody will ever
know. I can take
a
picture, can't I?
We can go through the woods. I know a place.
Over the river and through the woods.
No, seriously, there are places to get through, and they'll never find you. JRs.
She's saying like I'm a runaway slave or something.
Well, we need a passport to go over there, and I don't have one right now. No, it was called it was called JR's, the three-story bar in Woodstock. Was called JR's. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, what do you know? So, do you like it better out here in California, or like it better out in like New York?
I mean, no. Who I was then liked it better then. In fact, when I left, it was kind of a challenge to leave. It was tough to leave because I was addicted to the action there and addicted. You know, I really loved being there, and I
because you were young.
Lived in Manhattan. Yeah. 24 hours a day, you can do stuff and like that. But you know, when I was younger, that was very attractive to me to be part of that action. But then, you know, now I like living in the woods a little better. And although I still travel a lot. In fact, in a couple of weeks, some of my friends and I are going down to Florida and hopefully give some stuff away and help out with some of the hurricanes we're in around Naples there. So I travel a lot. I go places. Yeah, go ahead.
That's wonderful.
That's very nice. I know the people will really appreciate your efforts.
Oh. Yeah. Well, a lot of stuff is covered, you know, by the agencies and the churches. But, you know, you figure a lot of kids must have lost their bicycles, right. You know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that stuff doesn't get picked up by the governmental agencies. So we figure we'll go down there and find out who lost what and see if we can help out a little bit.
Oh, that's
really
awesome.
Nice.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's very
So I live in the woods, but I travel a bunch. I still travel a bunch. I go, you know, I go to Asia, go to Europe, and go around the U.S. And so I still go a lot. So I'm not hiding out in the woods or nothing. But, yeah, I was just in L.A. Well, you know, I was in L.A. and I did the talk at USC. So
yeah.
I went down there.
How did that go? I'm sorry, I wasn't able to make it. Something
happened. It was different. You know, it was different because it was students and the dean was there, and he kind of interviewed me, and he talked about stuff that really surprised me about the problems they have with kids and suicides like that on a campus.
No.
You know, really smart kids with good futures and. Who are really fucked up, and he said the statistics are really terrible. I wasn't aware of that at all, but that was interesting, and it was good. A lot of people showed up, and you know, we talked for a while, and the dean and me, and then we showed some videos of places that we've gone and stuff that we've done, and so it was a lot of fun for me. I don't know about the other people, but I had a lot of fun.
Right. That's good. I mean, I'm sure. Now, would you say the students were receptive to you, like to listen to some of the stuff you were talking about?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been to a lot of places and I've done a lot of things. So I don't feel like. I mean, maybe I'm a spiritual teacher, but I have not lived necessarily a cloistered life. So I can talk to pretty much anyone. You know, I know rock and roll, and I know, you know, I know drugs, and I know a lot of, you know, I've experienced a lot of things. So, and sports, which is big down there, you know, USC is a big sports school, and so I can talk about that stuff, and so the questions were good, and seemed like people were listening, and everybody wants to have a better life, you know, everybody wants to have less stress, and see things in a different way and like that. So I thought it was cool. I thought it was good. And I had a few friends down there that are musicians, and we got together and jammed, and that was fun too, because music has been a big part of my life for my whole life, really. Starting from when I was 3 years old, I started playing the violin. But once rock and roll came around, I couldn't figure out how that fit in the violin fit in that, so I switched to playing. I switched to the guitar, and the drums, and things like that. So that's pretty much, and piano.
Well,
so that's what I do now.
Well, you'll be happy to know that violin can be used in rock and roll now. Led Zeppelin has done it, and as has White
Snake.
Done
now.
And White Snake did it. So you know, you can always come back, Jay. We'll bring you back.
Yeah.
we'll assemble our own little band, and you can play the violin. Hell yeah. JJ Gold on violin.
God, that'd be nice.
Dude, that'd be cool. Are you going to be our spiritual master?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Well, we have a band up here, and we have a place that we get together, and it's all set up, and we play. We get together and play and jam and stuff like that. And you know, it's amazing how many people they're not great at it, and I'm not great at it, but they like to get together and play. You know, and that's a lot of fun. You know, basically pretending you're a rock star for 20 people rather than 2,000 people, and it's just a lot of fun.
Hey, a lot of people like to go to those rock star camps. You know, those camps where you go at rock and roll camp and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That you people pay to go to these camps and you get to live like a rock star.
You get to play instruments.
The whole nine yards. You have the whole rock
star.
That
sounds fun. I'll try that. How much is it?
Yeah, there's like fantasy camps and stuff. Oh. I don't know, but we can go because trust and believe, I'm down for that too. Anyway. I see here you've acted off Broadway even. Look at you.
No, I almost did. I went to an interview.
You almost did, okay.
I was friends with a guy called Peter Falk. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
I love Peter Falk. Columbo. We love Peter Falk.
That was the guy with the trench coat, right?
Yeah, dude. He was in The Princess Bride. He was reading to the kid.
Yeah.
I love Peter Falk.
Well, we were friends, and I was taking a walk with him one day. We used to hang out at the same pool room together, and just when he got started and we were taking a walk, and he said, well, come on in, I want to stop in this visit near Broadway in New York. And we stopped in, and there was an interview going on, and we were sitting and listening, and he said, hey, why don't you get up there and try it, why don't you get up there? And I said, no way am I going to do that, you know. But he just kept pestering me, and I got up there and I read for the producer, and the producer wanted to give me the part. It was a small part, but he wanted to give me the part that I didn't. It wasn't the direction I was going in, so I didn't do it. But the closest I got to Broadway was the pool rooms around Broadway.
That's crazy.
Hello.
I always like Peter Falk. He looked like he would have been a cool guy to hang out with.
Yeah, especially
a cool guy. He's not alive anymore, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately. He's
definitely a cool guy to hang out with.
Well, I see here that you've been all over the place. You've been in such exotic locations as Afghanistan, India, Algeria.
Wow.
You've been all over. Well, what would you say, India, how was that like? I'm just curious.
India is not one of my favorite places. It's tough to travel, and it's very crowded.
Okay.
I mean, it's an experience like nothing else, but it's I don't think I go back there. There's places I've been I go back to, but that's not one of them. If you like crowds and a lot of complexity and food you're almost sure to get sick on and like that, India is the place to go. But it is in a spiritual way, is very different than the U.S. and any place in the West. You know, it's really different. And it's interesting in that way because they grow up that way. They grow up with interest in spirituality. And so I found that very interesting. But I found it hard to travel around in. I mean, I've been in places where it's hard to travel around. I was in Algeria and actually crossed the Sahara Desert with some people. And that was hard to travel around, but not in the same way as India. You know, India is just very crowded.
I'm reading here, you were brought up in a Jewish, Russian Orthodox, Christian, and Muslim immigrant family in the Bronx.
Yeah, unusual.
I'm just like, how is that all possible? No, I mean, my son's father was a Russian Jew, was a Russian Jewish. His family was Orthodox, but him not so much. I grew up in the Christian family, but we didn't have the Muslim thing. So that'd be interesting that you grew up in all of that.
Out of faiths.
All that going on in one family. Wow.
Yeah, right. Well, they all came over from Europe. His whole village escaped some violence there in Europe, and they were all different religions, and they came over together. And they settled together, and they intermarried. So I ended up living in the Bronx in a family where all those religions were representative, and they all made their play for me. They all wanted me to join up, but I just didn't. I found it hard to get into any of them. All that seemed to do was argue with each other, so wow. That wasn't very attractive to me. But I certainly got exposed to Islam, and I got exposed to Judaism, and I got exposed to Christianity, and it served me for sure. I didn't like it so much at the time, but it certainly served me for sure in my life.
Would you say now that you follow any particular belief system now, or?
Nothing formal. I just basically what I understand and what I've come to understand, and I've been exposed to different stuff, and you know, like I've been around Hinduism and I've been around Buddhism, and you know, there's a lot of following going on, and I think that people can really. If people really try to go inside themselves, they can figure out what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad.
Oh,
I think
right.
People have that capacity within themselves, and following leaders is just not such a good thing.
Right.
I believe in
like his philosophy.
I believe in being a good person, doing what you're supposed to do and helping others, and I don't prescribe to any one belief system. I'm non-denominational. I don't do organized religion. I'm the same way.
Yeah, me too.
I don't do that. I grew up Christian. My family was
Baptist
and or Catholic. I grew up in that, so I know, but I've never prescribed. I like how you were talking about the spirituality. I like that more. Just being a good person and doing what you're supposed to, knowing right from wrong.
Yeah, but you automatically know that for the most part.
You're supposed to, but there are people in the world that
steal.
They're still gonna. There's still evil people in the world that do things that are just that is what it is. Peru. What was Peru like? That's interesting. I see you've been to everywhere. You were a New York hustler. I like that. I like that. You've had quite an exciting life. You've been all over.
You've done
a lot of stuff.
I still do.
That's great. No, but it's wonderful that you're still doing that. You're still going and you're still traveling and you're still, you know, doing what you want to do and living how you want to live. And that right there is something that could be taught to other people. You're more mindful and more in the moment. And, you know, I think that's something right there that could be taught to other people, that other people should learn.
Those are two important things that you mentioned, mindful and in the moment. Those are two things, because living in the future and the past and is just, having memories is important and looking forward to things is important, but it can't be everything, because there's stuff going on in the moment that you really can miss if you're in a hurry to get somewhere, you know. So rushing around is not such a good thing.
I wish I would have paid more attention to my children growing up.
Yeah, how old are your kids?
14 and 19.
Uh-huh.
My daughter's 14. She lives in Maine. What up, Sammy? And my son, Chance, he's 19. He lives here in L.A. with me.
Uh-huh.
When you're in the moment and you're so mindful and you're running around because you're always working or always doing something, then you're not paying attention, and then life passes you by. So I decided to move out to L.A. 5.5 years ago and prescribe to a different belief system. I decided that I was tired of, not living in the moment and having, doing what I want to do and being happy with it. So
mm-hmm. That's good. Well, that's basically why I wrote the book, because, not to get rich or famous or anything like that, but because I had these stories that I write about. You know, they're not like life and death kind of stories. They're not like this. There's no killings in them, and there's no car chases in them, and stuff like that. But there are things that happen in the person's life that, if a person really looks and reads and examines life in that way, a lot of things can be learned that makes everything better. And so the stories, some of them are funny and some of them are adventurous and some of them are really different. But that's why I wrote it down, because I figured, you know, somebody will pick it up and get something out of it, because reading has been part of my life. I didn't start off as a reader, but once I started to read, you know, I just crossed paths with people that weren't even alive anymore, and I learned stuff from them, and that really has changed my life. So I figured it's worth it to write something down. I have written three other books, but they were of a different nature. I wrote one book about financial espionage in Cuba, kind of like an adventure story, and that was fun to write. And then I wrote another book about my travels all over the world. It was fictionalized, but it used as a platform places I've been to all over the place and adventures. So I like writing, and I spend time doing that too.
Well, thank you, JJ Gold, for being on our show today. This has been very informational, and I'd like to actually read the book. So I'm hoping Matt will send me over a copy, because it looks like it would be a very good read. So thank you so
much. Definitely. I'll make sure he does.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, sir.
It has been a great pleasure. Right. This was awesome, and I really enjoyed talking to you. And I'm hoping that the listeners got something out of this, and hope they pick up a copy of Just in Time, autobiographical stories from an American spiritual master. Go check that out. Go get a copy of that. Can they get it on like the Google Play Store or Amazon or any of that stuff?
On Amazon.
Okay, go to Amazon bookstore and pick up his book, Just in Time. And and it's a great read, so you'll be very pleased. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, and maybe we'll have you on again in the future.
All right, thank you,
JJ. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye. You have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.
Cool.
Bye-bye.
That was great. That was awesome. I liked him. He's a very informative person. I like
that. Yes,
he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been all over the place and done so many things, very well-traveled and very well-educated. And just the worldly stuff.
Yeah.
Not even necessarily from...
He probably has stories to go. He can just...
Yeah, that's great. He is a wonderful really, media kit.
We need to read that book.
Wonderful, yes. Wonderful media kit. And thank you, Matthew from Bloom from Paradigm Press from sending him over to us. We are very happy for that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It has been a great episode, as always.
Yes.
I hate always wrapping up at the end. Let me make sure I have the... Dang it. I always want to make sure I have the name right. I always just say Matthew. It's just his editor at Paradigm Press. Okay, anyway. I know I had that. Well, we have some people coming on next week, which I'm very excited about.
Cool.
We have the rock band Slant on next week.
Right.
I saw them play, let's see, what was that? We saw them at the Whiskey. Really incredible show. I'm trying to think if that was the night, I think it was the night Orgy played. Yes, I believe it was I believe it was the night you weren't there.
No, I wasn't.
I believe it was the night Orgy played at the Whiskey.
Okay.
Not that long ago. It was just within the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. Really great show. Slant's incredible band. I was very, very impressed. And they were on stage. I was like, yeah. The second they got off stage, I was like, you need to be on my show. Here's my business card.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah. You need to be on the show now, yeah. So I finally got them booked for October 25th. So Slant on next week. You're going to love these guys. Great music. We're going to be playing some rockin' tunes next week. It's going to be another great episode of Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, LA Talk Radio Channel 1, iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Sonos. Now syndicated on Amazon, Alexa devices, and the Google Play Store. soon to be on TuneIn. So we're on damn everything because I work hard like a bitch. Anyway.
Produced by Get Real Global Entertainment.
Yes. Just say it.
You produced can say by it. Get Real Global Entertainment.
LLC.
Say it twice.
There you go. See? You say, it sounds
it
so
was
nice.
An echo.
He sounds so nice. It said it twice. Anyway.
Nice.
Hopefully, we met Sonia Harley. Sonia Harley,
yeah,
rocker. She knows everybody, man. She hangs out with Guns N' Roses, and she Lemmy Kilmister before he passed, and everything.
Ooh.
She has a table.
Black lady.
She has a table. She's awesome. But a rocker chick.
Rocker,
dude. We need more chicks in the rock world. We really do. Thank you, Sonia Harley, and we look forward to having you on the show, hopefully November 29th. Mm-hmm. Ooh, for the Thanksgiving show, though, I'm excited about that one. Okay, so November 15th, I finally filled that spot. Melody Allen from Wiggin' Out Radio is going to be on the November 15th show.
All right.
Ooh, and Wiggin' Out TV. Ooh, exciting things to come.
Right on.
So we got Melody Allen from Wiggin' Out Radio, Wiggin' Out TV coming on November 15th, November 22nd. Again, Thanksgiving show is going to be the incredible heavy metal band Killset. Mm-hmm. Yes, Killset.
Set of Kills.
You're going to love these guys. Saw them at the Whiskey. Freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And then November 29th, hopefully, will be Sonia Harley.
Cool.
I'm still working on some stuff. And then lots of authors and other bands coming in December and beyond. So we have been on the air for about 8 months now.
Wow.
Something like that. So we're doing, going strong. This, I think,
we're
our,
okay.
this is our, I think this is our 32nd episode. So thank you for all our listeners out there.
Thank you, everyone.
In
thank
Radio
you.
Land.
Tune again.
And we will talk to you again next week on Wednesday, as usual. Every Wednesday, don't forget, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Every Wednesday, we'll be rocking out and bringing you wonderful things from the world of entertainment and beyond. See you next Wednesday.
Gotta go.
Bye.
Bye.
Peace out.